welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, attorney Ken Affianco at FLPlawyer.com. So thanks for being back on the show, Ken. Also, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And just before we went live, Dr. Schultz said something. These two have not met each other before, so I was kind of given the prep work on it. In short, for a radio audience, Ken Affianco, active attorney, works for the FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, the largest police union in the country, and also has a huge, huge teaching background. He's still active law enforcement as well. He was just mentioning he's going to hit the road tomorrow and ruin some lives. No, he's actually going to protect some lives. And then Dr. Schultz, retired police chief many times over. And, you know, we first got our exposed to Chief Schultz when we were doing a lot of stuff for Police One. And a lot of the articles that we covered were written by Chief Schultz. So that's how I became aware of him and asked him to join the show. So that's kind of the background on everybody. I'm going to talk about our sponsors real quick. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com, and also our satellite sponsor, ComplianttechnologiesCom. And we have AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming to over a million people right now during the live show. And we've got TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com and FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter based out of Orlando. So when you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, all you have to do, drop them off and go hook up with Zach and do some bass fishing. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, you can do alligator hunting and catching and relocating alligators. It's always a fun time with Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, FormerLawman.com with Ray Dietrich and TravisJatesLawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, guys, we had a little change in the lineup. So as far as stories, the first one we're going to cover, it's a main story. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. House GOP alleges that the FBI Arctic Frost, that probe that we've been hearing so much about, and there's still trickling information out about it, they targeted over 150 Trump allies. I saw another news article that said like it was over 160. So we're going to be talking about that. And this is another new lineup. I just became aware of this late yesterday. Illinois deputy found guilty of murder in the shooting of Sonia Macy, a black woman who called 911 asking for help. I personally believe they got it wrong. I think this is a huge injustice. We'll talk more about this in a few minutes. We've got body cam footage released of a shootout during a pursuit on I-84. We've got a man armed with a replica firearm is fatally shot when he runs towards San Diego police officers. We have an off-duty officer. He crashes into a fleeing motorcycle to stop the suspect in the killing of a California deputy. And this dude, this off-duty cop, imagine how many off-duty cops are going to be willing to do that. You know, he was driving a unmarked car, but just fantastic. And then we got a canine from North Las Vegas Metro Police. They arrested a 36-year-old guy with the help of the canine that was wanted for multiple shootings. And then finally, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, they're asking the court to block the release of more than 8,000 deputy photos. And if you guys remember, this just went down with LAPD, and now it's going down with the sheriff's office in L.A. There's a lot of good stuff to talk about. And for the people on the show, if you guys want to take anything out of order, I don't know if Ken wants to talk about the release of those photos or anything, because there's a really interesting legal twist on that. But we can take anything out of order you guys want to. But let's start off with the first one involving Operation Arctic Frost. The Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. House GOP alleges that the FBI Arctic Frost probe had targeted over 150 Trump allies. We're still getting more information out from this as they declassify documents that they've been trying to hide. The House Judiciary Committee alleged on Tuesday that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that their Arctic Frost probe initiated during the Biden administration, potentially targeted more than 150 Republican officials and allies. And these newly released documents provided to the committee reportedly offer insight into the vast scope of this investigation. And the committee claims that it was run by the Biden-era Department of Justice, the DOJ, and the FBI. The probe allegedly started under FBI Director Christopher Wray, and it was later continued by Special Counsel Jack Smith under Attorney General Merrick Garland. So all these guys are like co-conspirators is what I'm reading here. Evidence released by Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, who's been releasing most of this stuff, it suggests that the FBI Director Wray, the AG Garland, and then Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco, they approved the investigation's launch, and which was focusing on actions surrounding the 2020 election and the Capitol riot. The committee is led by Ohio Rep. Jim Jordan. It claimed that 45 individuals were potentially under investigation, including, here's a list of some of the names, Trump White House advisor Steve Bannon, we all know his name, Republican Pennsylvania Representative Scott Perry, and then former Republican North Carolina Representative Mark Meadows. We've also got Rudy Giuliani, former New York City mayor and also attorney and advisor for Trump. And we all know that he got jammed up after Trump 1.0 administration. We got DOJ official Jeffrey Clark, and then former Trump attorney John Eastman. And then they further alleged that another 111 individuals were also potentially under investigation. And those involved like former White House Chief of Staff Dan Scavino, Peter Navarro, Trade and Manufacturing Senior Advisor. We have the current DOJ Weaponization Czar, Ed Martin, and also former DOJ official Jeff Rosen. And it just goes on and on about, you know, all the information coming out from the investigation. It says the revelations follow recent allegations of a coordinated effort between the parties involved, right? The Biden administration, the DOJ, and the FBI. It talks about the Biden White House Counsel's Office and the FBI, that they were working together. They were securing phones belonging to Trump and former Vice President Mike Pence. That's scary. And also FBI Director Scott, or Deputy Director Dan Bongino, he recently alleged that Special Counsel Jack Smith monitored the phone records of multiple GOP lawmakers, including Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri and Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, indicating the probe's broad scope. So there we have it. I don't know if this is alarming to any of you guys. It scares the crap out of me. And to know that, Chief, that they made all this information confidential, and we've had to declassify it in order to be able to get it out to the American people. What do you think, Chief?
Well, a couple of things. The fact that only Republicans were involved in this, if they were really looking at the January 6th thing, and by the way, this cloak and dagger stuff that they've done that's being revealed is just as damaging as any January 6th. I mean, this was an attempted coup, not in a violent way, but with lawfare. If they really wanted to probe this whole thing, there ought to be some Democrats on that list. I mean, who's that mystery guy? And again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not an apologist for J6. But what about that mystery guy that was planting devices around the Capitol? What about Pelosi's delay in calling out the National Guard? What about the undercover feds that were supposedly in the crowd? There are just a lot of things that are still unknown about that whole affair, but none of that is being investigated. You know, one of the best arson investigations I ever did was with an explosion that happened while a bank was being robbed three blocks down the street from where I was. So there are things that are done as a distraction. And I think this was a desperate effort to try to make sure that they pinned everything on the Republicans to avoid any notice of anything that might be going on the other side. We don't need another conspiracy theory, but it's a thought.
All right. Thank you. If there's nothing else, guys, we'll move on to our next one then. And well, thank you. Good commentary on that one. And I'm sure there will be more coming down the pike on this. So we'll cover that when it happens. CNN.com, Illinois deputy found guilty of murder in the shooting of Sonya Macy, a black woman who called 911 asking for help. Look, we've been talking about this. This thing has been going through trial. I haven't released a lot of the information they've been saying about how the other cop that was not indicted is testifying against the cop that got charged and stuff. And I've tried to hold my tongue a little bit because I knew that all this stuff was going to come out when they reached a verdict. A jury on Wednesday convicted an Illinois sheriff's deputy of second-degree murder. They tried for first degree. And in the shooting death of Sonya Macy, a black woman who called 911 to report a suspected prowler. Now, Sean Grayson, now, he's the deputy that was charged. He could be sentenced to up to 20 years in prison or even probation. The jury did not convict him of first-degree murder. and that would have been 45 years to life. Now, Grayson is the deputy that got charged, and another deputy arrived at Sonia Macy's home in Springfield, Illinois. It was early in the morning. It was July the 6th of 2024, so just over a year ago, after she reported a prowler. Now, there was some stuff that didn't add up when they were looking in the alleyway and at the car and stuff. I remember that. Now, it says that the deputy shot the 36-year-old woman after confronting her about how she was handling a pot of water that she had removed from her stove. And, you know, the deputies, two white deputies, black female, I'm only bringing that up because there are points of contention about that. But cops were over on the couch. They're talking to her, and the cop that ended up shooting her saw that she had something that was on the stove, potentially burning. It ended up being like a pot of water, from what we understand. And he told her to move it off the stove, which she did. But when she's going over there to do it, she says, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And that's not something you normally see. She picks up the pot of boiling water. So there's a body cam, and sometimes it's kind of hard to follow, but I see we're going for commercial break, guys. So look, I got to cut it. Hold your thoughts on this. We'll be right back. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And hey, Gauls has got it going on, guys. We all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix, it's almost limitless as far as choices. But I want to remind everybody here about what's really important and supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com. And now they're going to do you one better. Yeah, they've got a radio code. It's radio15, and that'll get you 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. Again, type in radio15 at Gauls.com for 15% off your next purchase. And we give away a couple Gauls gift cards, you know, every week on the show as well. We're going to give away one today, hopefully, as well. Gauls.com. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones as well. They'll be very glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, of course, they are our satellite sponsor. And guys, if you're not familiar with ComplianTechnologies.com, you know, they helped us get on satellite radio, and we are absolutely loving it. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, law ethics manner, utilizing their, and they call it their CD3. It stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So take it from me, friends, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco and Chief and Dr. Joel Schultz. And we've been talking about some interesting stuff. I also see that we've got Betty Martin, a new person on Facebook watching the show. So welcome to the show, Betty. And just a reminder, we are going to be doing a Gauls gift card giveaway today. It's a $50 Gauls gift card, especially for like our Facebook people. So look, if you guys have not entered and won in the last 90 days, if you haven't won, all you have to do is type in the word Gauls. That's G-A-L-L-S. And give us your email address so that we can email this digital card to you if you're the winner. So make sure that you guys do that. Now, back to the story involving Sonia Macy. Our deputy Grayson is the guy that pulled the trigger. But of course, Sonia Macy is the female that called the police. It was a prowler call. Things weren't adding up. I think it's fairly safe to say that she has some mental stuff going on. The cops became aware of that when they're talking to her inside of her house. The officer that ended up shooting her sees something on the stove. And he's worried about it, you know, burning, catching a fire or over, you know, he's just worried. He just knew that it needed to get moved off the stove, and he asked her to move it. But when she went to go do that, she said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." And she grabs this pot of boiling water. And so apparently she ducks down behind the counter in the kitchen. And then the officers, you know, at least I know our officer that shot draws his pistol. The other guy didn't fire. I can't remember whether he drew his pistol or not. And she stands up from behind the counter with the pot of boiling water in an action, reportedly, like she was going to throw it at him. And I believe he shot her three times. One of the shots hit her in the eye, killed her. And that's the way, you know, that ended. I know that there was some talk about giving her first aid and stuff. And I know the shooting cop said, "Dude, don't even bother. It's a head wound. It's severe. There's nothing that we're going to be, you know, it's just, you know, she's not going to make it." Some people hearing that, don't like that. But I've been around a lot of deaths, seeing a lot of people die. You know when you can self-examine injuries and know with a pretty high degree of accuracy whether people are going to be able to survive certain wounds and stuff. It said that this article, now I did get it from CNN and it just came out, so I didn't have a lot of time to get it from another source. So CNN, of course, is slanted. And in order to prove that, I'll read to you the next line verbatim from CNN article. Macy's killing raised new questions about U.S. law enforcement shootings of Black people in their homes and prompted a change in Illinois law requiring further transparency on the background of candidates for law enforcement jobs, unquote. So in other words, we need to start screening candidates to make sure we don't hire these racist cops, you know, and get rid of this systemic racism, right? So it goes on to say that Grayson, she was 31 years old. Oh, I'm sorry, Grayson, our cop, our deputy that was charged. She's 31 years old, charged with first-degree murder, but the jury was given the option of considering a lesser second-degree murder charge. And of course, that can apply when the defendant faces a serious provocation or believes their actions justified, even if that belief is unreasonable, according to the article. Ken will help explain that a little bit better. And our cop is scheduled to be sentenced on January the 29th. So again, he's been convicted for second-degree murder, and he's going to be sentenced on January the 29th. And this is the video. It's the Sangamon County Sheriff's Office is where all this happened out. So that's what we have. Attorney Ken Afiego, help break it down for us.
Well, I may be on the opposite side of what you believe on this case, but you know I've represented over 100 officers involved in shootings, and I can tell you there's some issues with this. If I would have got called to this, I would have had some concerns. First of all, she's sitting on the couch, in the living room.
Originally.
When the deputy is standing there. He sees something on the stove. We all know from police training 101, you never let anybody go into a kitchen, period. End of story. He lets her get up, doesn't follow her over there, and she was able to grab the pot of boiling water. To me, I think in this situation, it's critical to recognize, as you pointed out, she had some significant mental issues that she was dealing with. So you know that person's going to be, or at least has the potential for being very erratic and irrational, but yet he lets her get up over to the stove. I had a big problem with that. The other thing is, in my situation, from looking at it, I would want to know why that he didn't back up when she took the pot off the stove and was walking towards the counter. He's just standing there. He's not doing anything. He just stands, and I'm assuming he's telling her to put it down or whatever he was telling her. She didn't. I don't know why he didn't back up. She certainly could have thrown it, but I didn't see anything at that point in time that gave me the belief she was, other than holding it and saying, I rebuke you. There was no physical actions that supported she was going to. And I understand we don't have to wait till that point. I get it. Trust me, I get it. But I think he took a bad tactical approach to this situation. And let's face it, Chip, the bottom line is law enforcement's under the most attack I've ever seen in my career from a federal, local, county. We're under attack. And they're going to pick apart any case that they can, especially when you have Ben Crump pushing it from behind, claiming it's a racially motivated shooting inside someone's house. So, you know, here's what I will tell you. He put himself in a bad situation. And certainly, I'm sure if he had to do it again, he would think about, you know, maybe different approach or different tactics. But I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I could see that jury verdict coming down. I can see it.
Now, so from personal experience, and I don't know, have you ever been on a call where someone's had a pan or a pot of hot water or potash thrown on them?
I have not, but I've been in a situation where the person had a brick and was going to throw it at an officer from 20 some odd feet away. And the officer did not use deadly force. They just moved out of the way to get behind cover.
Yeah. So I bring that up because, well, number one, I was a cop for 30 years, right? So not always on the street answering calls, but different capacities. But I have absolutely no issue. I mean, even though she may have been a little crazy and they kind of realized it when they were on the couch talking to her, she's not the suspect in anything. She's the complainant, and letting her go in the kitchen, especially when you have a potential hazard on the stove. I have no issue. I would have done that all day long, letting her go in the kitchen and do that. That was not a flag for me, and it remains a non-issue for me. The first indication that bothers me is her saying, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," when she's going to remove the pot off the stove. Now, there are people, and I don't know, there's different versions of the video that people have been aware of than not. And I know that there may have been some close quarters. I don't know that it was not a huge place. I don't know that he could have backed away, but I have talked to someone who saw the video where she ducked down behind the counter and then stood up in a motion to throw it when he put three bullets in her. So regardless of how they got there, having seen the damage from water and potash, you know, in the Black community, severe problem. And guys, we are going to another commercial break, so let me just go in and get that going real quick here. And we are going to be talking about Arrow Precision at Arrow Precision USA. So I'm introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at Arrow Precision USA, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Ken's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company. So Arrow Defense, they know, these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that you guys can start getting your hands on the primo stuff. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Affianco and Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And we've been talking about the Sonya Macy case, and we have a deputy that just got charged with second degree murder. He has not been sentenced yet. And look, the nice thing about the show, we're all very respectful of each other, and it frankly makes for a better show when we don't agree. Most of the time, I think that we do agree on things, but there is some diversity, which is a good thing, and we bring different points. So when we went to commercial break, I was talking about, or getting ready to mention that in my career at law enforcement, especially in my early years, I worked in the hood and I had a lot of calls to project areas. And so it was well known that the Black community, that when a Black female got upset at her husband or her boyfriend, it was typically for messing around, that they would, take a boiling pot of water or even worse, potash, and throw it on them. Sometimes it was grease and stuff too. I remember my first call being exposed to this. It was I don't remember whether they were married or not, but she thought that he had been cheating on her, and he went to sleep in the house, in the projects. And she went in and she super glued his eyelids shut. And then she went into the stove and got a pot of boiling water, and she poured it all over him while he was laying sleeping. And by the time I got there, there was blood everywhere. He had forced his eyes open despite being super glued shut. And he was, it was bad. And, I've had it, typically, you know, the potash, and I've been told before what it is, and I don't remember exactly what the mixture is, but potash in the Black community, if you throw that on a Black person, it will bleach their skin white. And I'm talking permanently. They will be bleached. And so all through my career in the projects, I would see Black guys all the time who had potash thrown on them, and they were just permanently scarred for life. And I will tell you one thing, I had a huge respect for pots of boiling water and things like potash and stuff, because I know I've seen the damage they can create. And I will tell you that if I would have been in that situation, and look, maybe if I would have had time to move or whatever, I was told that when she ducked down behind the counter, that he didn't know what was going on, but he actually approached to see where her hands were at, what she was doing, and then that she stood up with this boiling pot of water and made a motion to throw it at him. He already has gun drawn, and he shot her. And he had been given her verbal orders as well that she wasn't complying with. if that would have been me in that situation, I would have pulled that trigger all day long, and I never would have lost a blink of sleep over it. You know, other than the fact of maybe having to take a human life, I would have been felt completely justified in doing that. I feel that it's a reasonable person that is aware. You know, I grew up in dealing with all this stuff and seeing the effects of it, but I realized that not everybody has. And Ken is not an outlier. I've been on the show as we've talked about this for the last year. There have been many other cops on the show that felt the way that Ken felt and disagreed with me about thinking it was a justified shoot. But I'm telling you, convicted or not, I'm in the same situation. I would do the same thing again. I would pull that trigger. So I feel that he is and should be completely vindicated and justified, because if they asked me to be that reasonable officer in that same situation under the same set of circumstances, I would have done the same exact thing. So that's my two cents. But I know that during the break, the chief had some questions for Ken as well. And I think this is an important enough topic to maybe continue this on a little bit further. So Ken and Chief, the floor is yours.
Sure. The chief asked me about the legal standards involved in this. And just to sum up what we were talking about, in Florida, you have the right to use deadly force if you feel that your life or some other innocent person's life is in danger of serious bodily injury and or death. However, it's a two-prong approach. That's one prong. The other prong, which ends up in trial to be debated, was whether or not your reaction to the perceived threat was reasonable. That's what gets it into trial. And unfortunately, you don't have 6 or 12 cops judging what you did. You have 6 or 12 citizens in a jury pool that's deciding what you did was reasonable, not knowing anything about what we go through as police officers. In this situation, I'm telling you, for me, this case would have given me some concern. And obviously, he was on the wrong end of a jury verdict. But again, I mean, there's a lot of arguments for both sides of the coin here. And the obviously, the prosecution was had enough evidence where they convinced a jury to convict him.
Yeah, no doubt.
So there were some questions about this guy's background. Maybe had a few things in his jacket. Would wouldn't have or shouldn't have made it to trial, right, Ken? Unless you've got something that's really relevant to that particular case. I mean, like if you're on the Brady list and you're a defendant, that shouldn't come to the jury's attention. Am I right?
Typically, yes, you are correct. We have evidence that can be admitted in a court if it's factually identical as to what you've done before. Then yes, it could come in on a limited circumstance. But in this situation, if this guy had a jacket where he's been suspended or demoted or whatever, then no, you wouldn't be able to use that against him, because it taints the jury against the officer for something that's not being tried. So that's why it would be excluded. Correct.
I think Chip, you should have been called as an expert witness, because it seems like, you know, if you're relying on officers' background, training, and experience, you could testify that is, you know, a serious potential for assault.
It's not only that. It's look, I, with all due respect, the it's a cultural thing. They still do this in the projects today. A 2-year-old, will watch her mom, and they see it happen. It's just a cultural thing. So, this woman doing this is exactly what I saw, 30 years ago in law enforcement. And actually longer than that. I mean, I started my career back in 83. So this, when I recount the story of this, the super glue and the bottom and the boiling water, that was probably back in around 83, 84, 85, 86. That was a long time ago. And it continues on. It's a generational thing that we're, they just learn how to do it. It's part of the culture. That's the way that they behave when you've got a cheating, spouse or significant other. I mean, it's just the way it is. So it hasn't left that the culture. And I suspect 20 years from now in the Black community, especially if you're in like the hood area living in the projects, they're still going to be doing that. So it's a learned behavior that is embraced by that culture, right or wrong. That's what goes on. But I know a lot of people just don't get that. They just don't understand that.
Well, it's embraced by Katie Porter, that politician in California that threw hot mashed potatoes on her ex-husband. So it's
a good point. That's a good point.
I don't want to be confused when I tell you what I'm about to tell you. I am not saying that if you believe someone's going to throw hot water or potash or hot grease on you, that you can't use deadly force to stop that. I'm in agreement with you 1,000% on that concept. However, in this case, with the facts presented as is, there are problems. That's what I'm saying.
And the facts as I know them, I have no issue with them whatsoever. But again, I've talked to some other, and I can say more off camera than I can say on camera, and maybe I'm aware of some stuff that maybe is not open to the general, you know, public. And maybe if we, you know, of course, even if we're watching a video, we really don't have all the information that, you know, what was going on in the head of the officer, perceived threat and all that stuff. That's just something that, you know, you can only really perceive that if you're there at the time and the officer watching through his eyes and processing things with his brain, what's going through his head at the time too. So
I wonder if there's a training issue here. You know, we all want to stand our ground. We all want to win, but there are times when we need to tactically disengage and redeploy. And that might not be part of the law enforcement or warrior ethos. Is, you know, this is where I'm planted. I'm going to stay here and battle it out right where I am. And I think most of us probably say, yeah, you could have withdrawn a little bit, but maybe that would have gone against his training. I don't know. That's speculation.
Well, again, I was told that she ducked down and that he wanted to get eyes on her, you know, and let's face it, by the time, if he would have decided to leave the house, which I never would have done as a cop wearing a gun, but you know, if I have a guy duck and I want to see, you know, what's going on, are they grabbing a weapon? Are they, you know, what's, you know, and so when he did that and got closer and then she stood up with that pot of boiling water and she had it and she lowered it and lifted it like in a motion to throw it at him, that's when the shooting happened. So,
I think you got some good points.
Well, guys, and look, thanks so much for everybody's being respectful and stuff. And I respect everybody's opinion on this, even though it may not be mine. But it certainly deserves a conversation. And another reminder on, guys, this is why I guarantee you that Ken and myself and even the chief, we throw scenarios in our brain and we constantly, you know, you may never be in the situation that you envisioned, but hopefully you played it out in your mind close enough to where you know what to do when you get there. Guys, we're going to our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like, drum roll please, our very own attorney Ken Afianko. So guys, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity offered by the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Ken Afianko at FOPLawyer.com, and also Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief at SchultzCo@gmail.com. And guys, great discussion. We're just kind of wrapping up the Sonya Macy shooting. And during the commercial break, I popped over to Rumble and our Rumble channel at rumble.com. And MVS has posted a message for Dr. Schultz. Dr. Schultz, I will be sending you email asking for your address. So you have started an exchange between you and MVS. He's a great guy, great supporter for the show. So I don't know where that will lead, but you're going to be hearing from MVS now.
I don't know. I'll either get a package or a restraining order. I'm not sure which.
No, if it was Sergeant George, it would be a restraining order, but it's MVS. So that takes care of that one. All right, guys. We are doing a Gulls gift card giveaway. We do not have enough entries yet. But again, if you're watching the show live and on the stream, type in the word Galls, G-A-L-L-S, in order to be entered in for that Galls gift card giveaway. It's a $50 digital gift card, which means I can email it to you at the end of the show, as long as I have your email address and you haven't won in the last 90 days. That said, guys, we've got some choices here. So we can go to the shootout on the interstate on I-84, and we've got, you know, some stuff involving that. We've got a off-duty officer crashes into the motorcycle suspect that had just killed a California deputy. And then we've got the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department trying to block the release of more than 8,000 deputy photographs after the city, the LAPD, just went through that. So, guys, any preferences on this at all? I got to admit, I'm kind of interested in what Ken would say about the photographs, but do you guys have any preference on anything? We've got about a little less than 8 minutes left.
Well, give Ken his opportunity to do some legal stuff here.
Are you interested in that one, Ken? Or
do you sure, about the photographs?
Yeah.
Do you want absolutely, me to... absolutely.
Okay, so let's cover that one then. So at Police One, look, I normally don't cover stuff on Police One. No offense, Dr. Schultz. But they, you know, when they, I kind of felt that they were going a little bit liberal, and they're using, you know, the Associated Press for the vast majority of their news coverage, which is heavily slanted and heavily anti-law enforcement. But I didn't have a lot of time to grab other sources. So this one right now, policeone.com. So LASD, which stands for Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, they asked the court to block the release of more than 8,000 deputy photographs. So guys, and I'm not talking to our panelists, I'm talking to our audience. Please, do three-dimensional thinking on this one here. It should make sense. So we're in Los Angeles, and this is about the county. So Los Angeles County, they're attempting to block a journalist from obtaining the names and the photographs of about 8,500 deputies and other sworn personnel that are employed by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Now, this legal dispute, it centers around the public records request that was filed in April, but this is back in 2023, so this is about 2.5 years ago, by an independent journalist named Cherise Castle. Now, Castle asked county officials to release the names and official headshots of all deputies that were not working undercover, and that's the first flag, because what if they want to work undercover, you know, or, you know, crap, just because they're not working undercover doesn't mean you don't give that stuff up. And then these people that didn't get what they wanted, they sued last summer after her request was denied, alleging a violation of California's open records law. Now, Castle, this journalist, has argued that the release of the images, it would boost transparency and improve the public's knowledge of law enforcement activity. The department maintained in court that the images are not public records and that they, quote, do not substantially relate to the conduct of the public's business, unquote. Amazing. We would never have to, I don't think, have to worry about that happening here in Florida. So LA County Superior Court Judge James C. Chalfant, he actually rejected the county's position, the law enforcement position. He wrote in the July decision that its lawyers are confusing the public's general lack of access with whether official photographs are a public record. The county has also claimed that deputies' personal privacy, quote, personal safety and effectiveness of the roles, unquote, it could be harmed by the release of the images. Kind of like similar to what happened with LAPD. You know, let's say Castle's, the journalist's battle with the sheriff's department echoes a similar case involving photos of Los Angeles Police Department LAPD officers back in 2022, which is really not that long ago. Another journalist, Ben Camacho, and the activist group called Stop LAPD Spying Coalition, if that gives you any clue where they're headed, where their heads are at, they posted department photos and other information about LAPD officers because they got a hold of them, which they posted online in a searchable database that was called Watch the Watchers. The database provoked a furor within the LAPD, and it led to the city unsuccessfully suing in an attempt to get the photos back and get them offline. They weren't able to do it. The cat was out of the bag. Some of the officers also filed a lawsuit claiming that they were endangered by the release because they worked undercover. Didn't matter. So that's where we're at, guys. Ken Affianco, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I really can't speak to California's laws because, frankly, anytime I read anything out of California, I'm just shocked that it even gets as far as it does. All I can do is speak for Florida. If this was in Florida, we have an absolute ban on anything made public that could compromise the law enforcement agency's investigative abilities. And certainly releasing the identities, pictures, and whatever other information is attached to an individual officer would not be permitted. That would be my twist on the law in Florida. As you mentioned a minute ago, Just because you're on street patrol today and you get your picture released doesn't mean you won't be in an undercover capacity tomorrow. So where's the protection for the officers that are out there already under attack, let alone having their pictures and other identifying information exposed to the whole world? I think that's a horrific decision by the judge, and hopefully the county is appealing it, and there's some more legal wrangling that get this overturned, because that's just absolutely absurd.
Wow. All right. Thank you. It's good info. Chief.
I think a lot of our objection to this release of information is based on, you know, they're not just a journalist, they're an activist. And if somebody's exercising their rights, we can't impugn their character and say, you're just doing this to cause trouble, because the law is the law. And as Ken pointed out, if California doesn't have a provision for this, then you're kind of on, I don't know, you're kind of in a gray area on thin ice. We do want transparency in law enforcement. We want effectiveness in law enforcement. We want our law enforcement officers to have some privacy and protection. But we also want a high degree of accountability. So I think unless the law specifically addresses it, like apparently Florida's does, I don't see them prevailing in this case. I don't see law enforcement prevailing in this case.
Yeah, it's it is just mind-boggling what they have to go through in California, and I mean. We got 2 minutes, so I don't think we have enough time to cover another topic, but I think there's plenty left here to talk about.
Sure.
Would you guys, keeping your mics open, would you agree that things like this are why it's so important to be very selective and careful about not only what agency that you're going to work for, but what jurisdiction? You know,
question about it. And here's what I'll tell you in Florida, too. You know, for example, I can keep my address out of all public records. Like my house, if you research my home on the public appraiser's office, my name or my address does not show up. That's the law in the state of Florida. The other laws that protect me from people finding out where I live is in Florida, you're allowed to use the address of your police department on your driver's license. You do not have to disclose your home address. So there's many protections we have in Florida. In addition to the Sunshine Law, which is our public records law in Florida, there's many protections built in for police officers, public safety officers. So I would feel confident if that ever happened in Florida, the judge would immediately dismiss the lawsuit because it compromises the safety of all the officers out there. So that's my particular take.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Chief.
Well, in California, they're worried about their stars, right? Because when the Mork and Mindy actress was stalked and murdered, they automatically put in some privacy guarantees that would protect the Hollywood stars. And, you know, God bless them. That was a good thing to do. But law enforcement, nah.
Well, you know, Mork and Mindy, now there's like 90% of the people listening to our show right now are thinking, what's Mork and Mindy? They don't know that Robin Williams was in that program. And I had forgotten that she was stalked and killed. In fact, I don't really remember that. So I'm glad you brought that up. But I know we've had issues with ICE agents and they're going through the same thing. They don't even want them. I mean, they've even outlawed them wearing masks in California, and they've been identifying these guys and going after their families and all kinds of stuff. So just some really horrible stuff. And has the light bulb in California not gone off? I mean, this judge that is not back in the county, is he really that IQ challenged to really not get it after all this? So I don't know. I know that we're into the Wounded Blue time. So let me thank you guys so much. And I'm so glad that there are some differing opinions on this. And we don't have really all the facts. So maybe if we knew everything, we all might very likely would all agree on it, but it's just, there's just so many, you know, there's just room for so many things that have gone on in that one situation. So, but thank you so much, Attorney Ken Apianko. Guys, go to FOPlawyer.com in order to get more information. Author Dr. Joel Schultz at SchultzCo at gmail.com. I wanted to mention the Wounded Blue as well, but guys, our sponsors, we've got Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecision USA, Gunlearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.